Nailor Beauty School was just the beginning, right? What on earth do you do now? Welcome to the Salon Success Podcast with Monaco Nail Academy. Our topics stretch beyond nails and into all things salon related, business, marketing, and social media, and at the very least hits you with real, honest stories about our experiences. This isn't school, this is real life, real business, and really freaking hard work. Before we get started, wherever you are, thumbs up, tag a friend in the comments, or hit that share button and support small business. Hey guys, Penny here from Monaco Nail Academy, and today I'm joined by Bailey
Hi.
and Mel.
Hi.
And we're going through a salon success topic around the algorithm and the fact that while a lot of people think it sucks, it actually doesn't. Before we get stuck in, though, let's revisit last week's lesson, which, what did we talk about, Bailey?
We talked about getting people to pay what you're worth, what you set your prices at.
And I mean, I know all three of us were on that episode and we had the lovely Jess with us as well, but like, what would either of you guys say are the main takeaways from that?
Yeah, my main thing is it's only a very small part of why people come to you. You're a whole package in your own self and your life and your environment. So pricing is just a very small part.
Yeah, you get people to pay what you're asking by being picky about the people that you're choosing in the first place.
Yep, and targeting those people so that they're
Yeah.
the ones coming and sitting in your seat.
So, moving back into the social media world this week, lots of people love to really hate the algorithm. The algorithm being the way that social media platforms direct visitors to your social media. So it is the behind the scenes of any social media platform directing the content to where it's got to go. So it's basically a set of rules that are deciding whether or not anybody sees the content that you're making. And the algorithms for all social media platforms change regularly because people's habits and the world changes regularly. But people really like to shit on algorithms. It's super common to hear people talk about the algorithm as if it's this awful thing that is designed just to make our lives harder. The algorithm, however, is not the enemy. Go
Why
for it.
would these platforms that are encouraging social connection online want to drive people away from your particular?
Yeah, like it's a bad business model to want to piss people off.
All it would really do in the long run is have people leaving that platform and going elsewhere, which, terrible business model.
The thing is, like, okay, take Facebook as an example. If Facebook was a new platform that had absolutely no content, they wouldn't need an algorithm. They'd just show you everything that was posted as it was posted. But like, Facebook's not a new platform with no content. It's one of the largest content sources in the entire world, and they don't produce the content themselves. So the algorithm is quality control. Like, if they showed you every single piece of content made by everyone you follow, you wouldn't, like, I wouldn't go on Facebook. You wouldn't go on Facebook. It'd just be flooded with crap that you don't want to see. And for a lot of us, it would literally take hours every day just to catch up. So then you just stop using Facebook. Like, it's a terrible business model.
I mean, as it is, some of us spend hours on those platforms anyway and still don't completely catch up because there's so much content on there without the filter, like, or with the filter, let alone without a filter on there, narrowing it down a little bit for us.
Like, I heard the other day, literally yesterday actually, that YouTube gets 5 million hours of content added every day. It was something like, it was like
Five
in the
million.
millions, and it was either that or even more astronomical. Like, it might have been every hour, but I think it was every day. But it was 5 million hours of content, like, every day gets added to YouTube. So to refer to it as a bottomless pit is actually factual, because it is not possible to ever finish YouTube.
I mean, YouTube's a prime example, though, and with the algorithm is like I feel like everyone has done it, like gone down the YouTube rabbit hole where you start watching one thing and then like your recommended stuff, and you go from like watching some home renovations to like some serial killer documentary. Like it just spiralized. But that's all based on, like, mine ends up there because that's what I love watching. So it's always going to gravitate slowly down that rabbit hole to those things that I'm interested in watching. Why? Because it keeps me on the platform. If they were recommending things to me that I wasn't interested in, I'm going to jump off and go hop on Netflix or Prime or something and watch something else. But because they're recommending to me things I want to engage with, things I want to watch, I stay on the platform longer. They get to show me more ads. They're making more money. The creators are making more money. Like it's all, it's a business and that's how they operate their business.
So, okay. I don't know much about the algorithm. So how do I get the algorithm to show my people that I want to target my content?
You have to trust that it is because, so this is the thing, like Bailey was talking about how like this is how the platforms make money. And I think that's where people start to get grumpy with the algorithm is because they're like, yeah, it's just a money making thing. It is, but it's not in the way that they're saying. Like it's not just to make money, it's to keep people on the platform and to keep you giving advertising money and stuff like that. But so like, Mel, you don't want to make the algorithm see your stuff. You want the algorithm to work for you. You produce the content that best represents you and your business and your avatar and your, like, what you want, and then just trust the algorithm. Like the onus in your question being like, what do you do to make the algorithm work for you, is backwards. It's the client, what do I do to have the algorithm show me what I want to buy? Not the other way around. And then as long as you're representing yourself well as a salon, the right clients are going to find you.
Got it.
Like from what the algorithm does, the algorithm watches how you interact with the content on your feed. So it learns what you like. Do you like photos more, videos more? Do you like long captions, short captions? Literally down to, do you respond better to red images or blue images? Are you likely to click links? Do you scroll past? Then it prioritizes content you like. So you still get a variety, but you get a lot more red-based photos with short captions than your friends that love clicking links and using Facebook as a way to shop and find good articles to read. Like everybody has their different way of using a platform. Like it's still not the devil. It's making sure your content is shown to the people most likely to like it. So, like, if there was one thing that you could do, it would be to make sure that you are posting a variety. Like, if you know that your avatar, your ideal client, shouldn't really care if they like long captions or short captions, then maybe you do 50-50 long and short. But if you do know that the people that you want to come and see you are more likely to like funny than serious, or like conversational than short, or like there will be things that you know that you just need to sort of stay stuck on what's important to you and maybe vary some other stuff up, like having a variety of captions and stuff like that. But really, you're just, the algorithm's working for you. It's a good thing. Like,
so it's just there doing its thing and you just hope it's.
And I think we kind of like touched on it a little bit, even in the previous episode around pricing, in terms of, yeah, your avatar, that ideal client, and, you know, that you want that person in your chair so they pay your prices. But it kind of goes into getting them in your chair is, what should your feed look like in order to target that person? So like what you can do from that side of things is just making sure that your feed is as representative of your business and targeting that ideal client, that avatar that you're looking for. So that way when they see your content, they engage with it, and then more of your content is going to come up on their feed.
Yeah, like really the best thing you can do is just create good content, and like the algorithm's making sure that your content is shown to the people most likely to like it. So when people say, oh, well, they changed the algorithm and now nobody likes my stuff, that's not fault Facebook's fault. Like, you're the one making the content, and Facebook or Instagram or whatever platform is showing the people that are most likely to like it. So if the ones most likely to like it aren't interacting with it, like, that's on you. You need to vary up your content and make your content more interesting, because, like, Facebook is trying. Like, it's, I would say, like, really, it's Facebook's job to make sure every user's experience on the platform is enjoyable. And again, I keep saying Facebook, any of the platforms. Like, the algorithm exists to prioritize, especially in Facebook's case, because this is part of their mission statement. But it exists to prioritize community building first and foremost, and then, like, conversation, and then, yes, money, but the money doesn't come. It's like when we were talking in a few episodes ago about engagement versus likes. Like, the engagement is more important, and we don't get money unless we have engagement. Facebook's the same. Yeah, okay, there's a revenue model, but they don't make money if no one is on the platform enjoying it. Like, they still have to prioritize you wanting to be on the platform before the platform can make money.
The algorithm is such a complex thing, and I think there are people who are always chasing, like, how to absolutely best make the algorithm work for them. And you can kind of do yourself a disservice sometimes, because that can lead you away from, like, what your business is at its core. And that's what's really going to help you engage with the other users that you want to be engaging with your content, by being just authentically what you are as a business. And so the algorithm's there, it's doing its thing, and it is and it should be directing the people, like Penny said, most likely to engage with your content to your content. But that if you try to chase perfecting working the algorithm too much, that you can stray away from, like, your business at its core, and, like, yeah, almost do yourself a disservice by trying to chase that.
The thing is, well, algorithm. People like to complain that the algorithm changes. Like, they'll talk about that, Bailey, like, oh, I just got good at the algorithm and then the algorithm changed. Yeah. It changes on purpose, because people don't like the same stuff forever and ever. We get sick of it. So then our tastes change. So then the algorithm changes to match the general taste trend, not the other way around. And then if it didn't change, then when we're all like, actually, I'm kind of sick of, like, photo content, I really like short form video, but it was still prioritizing showing us photos, then we would all leave the platform to go somewhere that had short form video content. The algorithm has to change. Like, the stats would go down and down and down and down if it didn't. So you can't ever hack the algorithm, because it will keep changing because we changed it.
That makes total sense, though. My feed used to be like nails galore, like, constantly. And then since I did this challenge at the gym, it's now all, like, motivational gym stuff. There seems to be, like, no in between.
But if you were still seeing only nails when you are focused on, like, health and well-being more than nails in this, like, phase of life, you wouldn't go on Facebook anymore, because that's not what you want to see. You'd go somewhere that would show you that.
Yeah, but, like, for me, like, who's never really understood it, I was just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Now it's, and it's interesting, too, that you say, like, it's either one or the other, but it was probably more like it was one or the other that you were quite focused on at that time. Whereas if you were equally engaging with nail and fitness content, you would equally get nail and fitness content.
Yeah.
But if you're mostly engaging with fitness content, the nail content will start to drop off.
Yeah. And I probably was, because I was, like, dying a slow death starting this gym journey. So it was like, keep going, girlfriend, like, and that's what love it kept showing me, like, you can do it, blah 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 blah.
And you would have liked more of that, because you're like, yes, I need that.
Yeah.
Before we continue on with the podcast, we just want to take a quick ad break to talk about The Art of Nails. This is our nail art modules that we offer. They're all online, although you can book mentoring either online or in person to complement them. If you're struggling, you can do extra lessons that are live with one of our mentors. But I thought I'd plug this one on this episode because everybody loves nail art. And while we're talking about hacking algorithms, why not hack one with interesting stuff? So if you search Monaco Nails, The Art of Nails, it'll pop up. You can also go straight to our website, monaco.ac.nz, and nail art courses are in the top menu. And of course, our mentors have affiliate codes that will allow you 10% off while also giving them a little extra kickback as a thank you for supporting the podcast. Bailey, what's your code?
My code is Bailey.
And Mel?
Mine's Jungle Nails NZ.
So, very tongue-in-cheek, you can pick whichever is your favorite, Mel or Bailey, and give them money by enrolling using their code. I want to go back to talking about Facebook's revenue for a second, because people often talk about the revenue, blah, 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 whatever, for their content having low reach. Like, people will often say, all the time, like, Facebook just shows less people my stuff because then I'll have to pay them to show more people. Like, it's like Facebook's turning down the volume, like they're diluting, going less and less people to make you pay money. Like, you're chasing the dragon. Like, oh, I used to get this many likes and now I have to pay to get them. Okay. Have all the opinions you want when it comes to Facebook or any other platform and their profit margins, their morals, their ethics. I am not friends with Zuckerberg. I will not tell him. I am not defending everything that they do. However, this one statement frustrates the shit out of me, because when people notice overall Facebook reach decreasing, it's not because Facebook thought, I know how we can make more money. Let's only show content to 2% of their followers now. It's because Facebook's growing. There are more users online, therefore more content being produced, therefore more content to choose from when deciding what to show in the newsfeed. Facebook knows that each user only has a certain amount of time to scroll and therefore prioritizes only as much content as they can fit into that amount of time. So if there is more available content, but the same amount of time being spent on the app, that means, like, not even girl math, just math, that less of that content gets a chance to be seen. Like, I wrote down a stat for you guys that in 2012, pages were organically reaching about 16% of their followers on average, but only 2 years later, it was 6.5%. And then apparently that number has now dropped to like 2% for pages that have like 500,000 likes or more. But like, it's literally maths, and it probably pisses Facebook off more than it pisses us off. Like, if I was Facebook, like, more content to me would be like, what are we supposed to do with this? Like, where do we put it? Like, you just got on top of the laundry pile and then you find a gym bag that never got unpacked. Like, I would be mad about it. Then they have to reconfigure the algorithm again to cope with the extra content, just to try and make sure that we keep seeing stuff that's interesting, and then we can blame the algorithm changed. Like, it's literally just maths. Like, they can't win, and they suck at a lot of things, but like, this thing's not their fault.
When you first started like talking about that, immediately in my head was just like, well, yeah, there's more content to consume. So you physically can't see it all. You just can't. And it's why, like, even personally, I reduce the number of creators that I follow so that at least what I am consuming is more targeted to what I really want to be coming up on my feed. So I do that personally as a user, let alone on the flip side as someone producing content. But just what I'm consuming, I try to limit that to less creators so it's not so much so overwhelming, because there's only so many hours in the day that you can just spend doom scrolling, and only so much content you can consume.
And with everybody trying to like post more and more and more to try and fight the algorithm, it like, then ruins the algorithm because now there's more and more and more.
Yeah, that's it. Well, what you just said, Bailey, ties in perfectly with what we were talking about in the likes and the Vanity One podcast, how, like, me as the business, why would I want someone like Bailey, who doesn't really want to see my stuff, still liking my page, even though she doesn't want to see it? Like, why do I want that number there when she doesn't want to see it? She's not engaging. Like, it's just, yeah, it just ties in. You just, like, reiterated what we had talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, like, I love seeing your work because I think your work is great, and to like it and even to comment on it. But I'm not a client. I can like and appreciate your work, but it's still not going to translate into income for you because I'm not a client, right? So it's, yeah, it is interesting how, I mean, it all ties in together. That's why it's an overall salon success module with all of these, because they all just weave into each other, right?
Yeah, totally. But totally.
Sometimes people will be like, oh, like, I don't know, I just feel bad unfollowing, or like relate that to anything else. Like the people that I just feel bad, like, no, if you don't like what I'm doing, please unfollow me. If you're my best friend and you don't care, please unfollow me, because the nicest thing you could do would be to increase my percentage of engagement. And if you don't like my stuff, but you unfollow me, you just improved my stats. Facebook tells us very little about how the algorithm works, which is like partly because it changes constantly, so how could they, but also partly because they don't want people to game the system. But like, there are a few things that people can work out just by being observant. Like, we know that by choosing what to show, Facebook ranks every single thing, like every post, by looking at over 100,000 different factors. Like, they've released that information. They are looking at 100,000 different things on one piece of content to then analyze who the algorithm should show it to. But like, some of what they're showing is like how much each user likes that creator. So like, it might be me looking at Mel's stuff. It's like how often I like her stuff. It's also looking at how often or how much other people are liking the same post, how many people like your page already, like what type of post it is, like how old the post is as well, because posts on social media on average die within about 2 hours unless they are still getting active engagement. So like, it's looking at so much different stuff. But like, Mel, before you said, what are some things that like we can do to try and work with the algorithm, I think is probably like the way to phrase it, is like, you want to work with the algorithm to help it do its job better. Like, there's a few things, and I did make some notes and write a little wee list. Feel free to interrupt me, ladies, if you have like stories to add to these. We know for a start that Facebook and Instagram, again, I keep saying Facebook, just the apps, they don't like people posting links because it sends you away from the platform. That doesn't mean that you don't post links. Like, I post links all the time. I'm using the platforms as a way to market my business. Like, I'm going to take the hit and post a link. But if you really want good engagement, you leave the link out and keep them sporadic, because the platforms don't want people to leave. So they're going
to... people are constantly like, link in bio.
Yes, and then exactly. You'll
have a link which takes you to a list of all of the things as opposed to being in the caption.
Yeah. And like, also the buttons that are like, so for example, Instagram and Facebook being owned by the same company, or like the other scheduling, third-party scheduling platforms and stuff that you can get, the social media platforms will generally punish a post that has been quick shared from another platform, because like, that is telling, say for example, you post on Instagram and you use the quick share button to simultaneously share it to Facebook. Facebook will punish that post because it knows if that person has been on Instagram in the last hour, they've already seen that content, and they want to be showing unique content, because if their platform was identical to, say, for example, Instagram, there would be no reason to go on both of them. So if it knows categorically that you already put that on a different platform, it's going to show less people. Because why duplicate content? Then Facebook becomes boring. One thing that I find really, because I find all of this stuff fun, like I think this is really interesting. But one of the things that I found super interesting when first learning about Facebook and stuff is that Facebook will punish posts that use words with negative connotations. So like a post that has words like stress, can't, won't, and even words like fat, or words that have like spammy connotations, like free or discount or deal or sale, like any of that sort of stuff. If there are any words that could be seen to be like, ugh, I don't want that, it won't show as many people. So if you have a post that isn't performing as well, you could literally repost the same post with a different caption, and in theory, you see better results.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So on the flip side, do they push ones with like happy words, like achievement or whatever, like they do?
Yeah, literally. This is when we say like they look at 100,000 different things. It literally comes down to this. Like, and there was a time as well, actually, where back in this goes back quite far, and I don't think they do this anymore, but they would reject ads where they, and the reason was like a really broad, like your wording doesn't meet our community standards or whatever, like kind of bullshit. And it would, you could literally reword it to take out like words like fad or words like, and then the ad would get approved.
Interesting.
Isn't that so fun? Like, the level to which it goes to. I just think it's really interesting.
And then you start thinking about your own posts. Like, I'm in my head, like, my most popular posts are one where I'm like, I did it, or, like, they're the ones that are the most liked, the most comments. Yeah.
Because if you really think about your own brain as well, like, if I was scrolling and I see someone be like, oh, I'm so stressed today, blah, 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 I'm going to be like, yeah, me too, bro, move on. But if I see someone be like, oh my God, I just passed my exam, I'm going to be like, oh, I love that for you. I am having a shit day, but I'm glad you're having a good one. Like, generally speaking, my brain, without any algorithms, wants to see the happy stuff a lot more than hearing you whinge about something that I already dealt with. And Facebook isn't, I mean, Facebook pretty, and Instagram, whatever, they're pretty damn smart, but like, sometimes they don't, like, you can say like, do you want a really fat wallet? They're not gonna go down to the nth degree and know that you're talking about making money. They're gonna be like, fat, no thanks.
I probably really need to look at that.
I mean, do, but also like, there's 100,000 factors. You can only do so well, but it helps to, to like.
So interesting that way.
It's so fun. And like, we know that, one of the other things that it punishes in the wording is getting people to like, comment, or share the post. And like, so if you have said like this post or like comment below, blah, 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 it will punish that. But if you reword it to say, like, who would you share this with? Or, like, no, not share, because that's, who would you give this to? Like, you'll see them now when you scroll through Facebook. Mm-hmm. And, like, sometimes if I'm batching content and it's towards the end of the day and now I'm a bit tired, then, like, I'm going to say, like, share this with a friend. But if you're really on point, you're saying, like, who do you know that would really love this? And you're taking out those, like, more baity words?
Words, yeah.
Like, even the difference between saying, like, comment below and, like, let us know what you think.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I know, me and Bailey are both like,
like, it's wild. And, like, you know, without even, before going down the rabbit hole, you know how complex it is. Like, in order to be able to do what it does, like, it's not just this very basic single level, like, the depth is just ridiculous. Yeah. But, the more you learn about it, it is just like,
Yeah,
like,
and I think crazy. That's why I have not really gone into it, because I just know I'm going to get like and not really understand it. So I just kind of didn't even look into it at all. Now I'm like, oh, I always say stuff like that. Like, my fat ass has been at the gym. Like, come and follow me. And that's my
But I
post
think,
for it.
like, what Penny said, like, at the very beginning, though, is so important to remember, and that, like, the algorithm is showing your content to the people most likely to engage with it. So it's not, like, choosing you individually and going, screw this creator.
Yeah.
We're just going to do absolutely everything to make sure no one engages with their content. It's like, hey, these are the people most likely to engage with your content. We're going to show it to them. If our engagement isn't so great from that, then maybe there's some things that we could look at our content and change from there. But that it's not specifically targeting, especially I feel like the biggest thing like that comes around from like screw the algorithm is that, oh, the algorithm favors larger creators and really, really penalizes smaller creators, and which sucks because obviously everyone's always like, yeah, screw the big guys. Like, what about us little people? But that, yeah, it's regardless of the size of your platform, that it's doing what it can to put your content in front of those most likely to engage. And if from that point you're not getting the engagement that you'd like or that you'd hope for, then maybe have a look at your content and see, have I really been creating content which is for that avatar, that target client, or have I maybe digressed a little bit from there?
Well, like those big creators that it's favoring, but how do you think they got big? It's not because they suck and a platform put them in front of everybody despite sucking. Maybe instead of blaming the platform, think about the fact that maybe that creator's just better than you, and that's why they're big. Because they do a good job. And because they do a good job, they get put in front of more people, and they get put in more in front of more people, so they get more followers and more engagement, and then they get more like money to produce better content. So then they make better content. So then they get put in front of more people. Like, it boils down to like it's just not the platform's fault. Like, you can look at it and be blamist and be like, oh, well, screw Instagram. But like, Instagram is not successful because it prioritizes people with shit content.
Yeah.
Do you think those big content creators actually give a shit about the algorithm?
Yes.
Or do they just do their thing?
No, they will. Like, when we're like up all night watching nail videos, they're watching algorithm videos, and they're like following the Facebook reports, and they're going through and watching all the changes, and they're on forums communicating with each other. Like, they're not listening to the Sell on Success podcast, they're listening to social media podcasts. Like, when I get up in the morning, I clean the house, I'm not listening to nail podcasts, I'm listening to marketing podcasts.
Yeah, so they're really trying to get it to work
and doing it, and then we're sitting back here on our fat asses being like wow, Instagram was mean to me. Like, it, if you produce good content, people will see it. If people aren't seeing your content, it's because you had a 2% chance. Therefore, you are in the 98%. You don't know where. Maybe you made pretty good content, but someone else made better content. Like, if you're not being seen, it's because someone else did a better job than you, not because, like, the platform is being mean. You just got to do better, and then put that effort into being like, okay, well, when you have millions of pieces of content and only 2% of you can be shown at any, like, to any individual, then that things like the word fat or the word stress really does come into it. Like, this is tangential, but it reminds me of like when I used to work in recruitment. And I worked in a call center. I did recruitment and training for a call center. And for any, like, we had an intake for the call center every single month. There were 8 people every single month, and like 8 job openings every single month. And for every intake, we would get 600 to 800 applications. The very first step is to clear the CVs. Second step, phone interviews. Next, first interviews. Next, second interviews, then referee checks, then you're in. When you have 800 CVs for 8 positions, if I start reading your cover letter and there is a typo, you're gone. I don't give a shit. I've got 799 more people and I have to eliminate you based on something. And today it's going to be that spelling mistake because 799 other people, or at least, let's say, 2% of them, paid enough attention not to have a spelling mistake. I have to limit you on something. So then when it comes down back to the algorithm, then yeah, the word stressed, if I have millions of pieces of content, I have to pick something. So I'm going to pick the word excited over the word stressed to show that content. So when we're going, okay, well then make better content, it's really at the nitty gritty. Like you have to be relatable, you have to be inspirational, you have to be like lifting people up, not making them feel like, ugh.
Just do better.
Yeah, it's just as simple as that. Just do better.
So easy. Just like do better.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is, right? Like that's what it really boils down to at the end of the day. It's like when we are just constantly swamped with so much content, so much like stimulus that it's like, what are you going to gravitate towards? The best, because there's so much. So you're not going to be looking at that 98%. You're looking at that 2% because why would you bother with the 98% when that 2% is there, it is better, and that's what your brain is just going to gravitate towards.
And when we're surrounded by war and recessions and pandemics,
negativity everywhere,
why would I then click on a post about how stressed someone is? Like, I don't even care how realistic the post is. Like, if you send me some inspirational quote about witches and fairies, I'm going to be like, yes, that sounds better than the world I'm living in this minute of this hour today, because today is a shitty day. I'm going to look for the fun stuff that makes me feel better about my life. And like, we all have social media content that we phone in because we want to get a post up. And so we do the post that's like, I love an autumn red. Like, no one else gives a shit about your autumn red. Tell me about how you accidentally spilled a box of tips because I need to laugh today. Like, in your captions and stuff. Don't tell me about how, like, oh, I love a blue in summer. I don't give a shit. Tell me about how your toddler flipped food into your eyeball this morning because I need to relate and know that someone else's day was also a bit shit. Like, it's just about being a human being.
Again, like you said in the last one, hashtag relatable.
Yeah, exactly. Before we wrap this up, any final thoughts, ladies?
I don't know. It was all kind of new to me, but I did learn a lot in this one, which, as Penny said, I'm a new mentor and I still learned a lot just talking about it just now. So, yeah, if you're confused like I am, get onto that sell on success.
Bailey's sum up is just do better.
No, I think just like it's super interesting and I love going on a deep dive about any and every topic that I find interesting. So like this was a super super interesting topic today, like with the podcast, that like my brain is just still thinking, you know what I mean? Like it's really interesting. I think it's definitely, regardless of how much you give a crap about the algorithm, I still think it's interesting information to have as a content creator.
It's just also nice to be brought back down to earth and be like, oh, okay, maybe I should stop blaming other people or other machines and just do better.
Yeah, it's just not that deep. Just
You can't improve if you're blaming someone else. And if you want to blame the algorithm, that's fine, but you'll never take a look at what you're doing and do any better with it.
Yeah, a little bit of holding a mirror up for sure.
Yeah. So before we completely wrap up, I just want to take a minute to remind you that we tie everything back to our Sell on Success course, which the quickest URL I can tell you on a podcast is monaco.ac.nz/course/marketing. and that'll take you to our big, most in-depth sell and success course that you can get to. Don't forget, our mentors have affiliate codes that'll knock 10% off that price while also supporting their work and our work with the podcast. Mel, your code is
Jungle Nails NZ.
Bailey, yours is
Bailey.
And with that done and dusted, before you disappear, like our page or follow the podcast so that you don't miss the next episode. Bailey, what are we doing next episode?
Oh, next episode, we are diving into types of businesses: sole traders, partnerships, limited liability.
Oh, yes. Back to basics. Good one for the newbies. Yeah, fun. So that'll be on next episode. That's next week. But until then, check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Monaco Nail Academy, or follow our salons. Mine is Hardlacker NZ. Bailey, what's yours?
Mine is Bailey Janet Nails.
And Mel.
Mine's just Jungle Nails NZ.
Have a great week, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.